tire on this one, brother. Where you're just reading the scripture and it just kind of comes out and grabs you. And this one done that to me, and I'd read it many, many times, and it always kind of scared me a little bit. It always kind of put a little bit of, oh no, feeling in me. Because I was afraid of what happened here in this town might happen to us. And I want to try to bring you a message tonight that if you wanted to, you could take wrong, I reckon. But I hope you don't. I hope you got enough grace to take it right. And look at Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 53. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 53. And we'll get right into the message and to the point. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, that's Nazareth, insomuch that they were astonished, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these mighty, all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And here's the text verse. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Here in this scripture, the Lord went back to his hometown where he was brought up and ran into such opposition from people that didn't believe in him that the Bible says he didn't do a whole lot of great miracles and works there. And it didn't say anything here except because of their unbelief. Which leads me to believe if they had had more faith in the Lord and believed in him, he would have done mightier works there in that city. Now, I'll be honest with you tonight, folks, that scares me. And I'll tell you what scares me. It scares me that we would come to the place here at New Manna, right here in Marion, that God would look down at us and say, I'm not able to do many mighty works down there in Marion because of those people's unbelief. I wouldn't want the Lord to say that. And it really bothers me to think that he would say that. And it scares me that he might say that. And I'd hate to think, Lord, you mean to tell me you might be doing all kinds of great things here in this town if it wasn't for us and our unbelief? Have you ever thought maybe it's me that's stopping God from doing something great? Well, it's possible. Now, the hardest place for a preacher to be accepted by people is in his hometown. And if a preacher's accepted much in his own town, it's a miracle from the Lord. Jesus said a prophet has no honor in his own country. Now, why is that? Have you ever wondered why that most time when a listen to me now, look up here at me. When a preacher is in his own town, he don't have a lot of people believe in him. When he goes somewhere else, they do. Now, I'll tell you why that is. Look back there at verse number 55. And that verse said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph? And they named off his mother and his brothers and sisters. They said, I've known that little Jesus feller ever since he was that high. They thought he was just another kid on the block. They didn't realize he is from heaven. They said, I knowed him when he was just a little bitty squirt running around here. And here he grows up and claims all he... Where'd he get this mighty power? And somebody sat around and said, well, I tell you one thing. I remember when he wasn't knee-high to a grasshopper and running around out here in the pasture playing with these other little old boys. And I remember going over there watching him and his daddy build houses. And his daddy's old Joseph. Why, Joseph who? Is he the one's kid? Why, yeah, you know him. He's lived around here for years. And Mary, his mother, why, they said she's pregnant before they got married. I you know how rumors get started, but I never did know. I don't know about that fella. And because they knew him all of his life, they just could not believe that he was who he said he was. And as a result, he couldn't do a whole lot for them because of their unbelief. Now, it's sometimes he did have people there that believed in him, but the majority of them did not believe in him because they knew him. And this scripture implies that he would have done a lot more mighty works if they had believed. And I'm scared of that happening here to our church or any church. I'm afraid of us getting to the place where our unbelief stops the Lord from doing great and mighty things here in McDowell County. Now, I want to tell you something and serve notice on you right now. Just in case you got any ideas, just because we got our building finished, and just because we got a youth camp, and just because, you know, we have the largest attendance of any church in McDowell County or a lot of the surrounding counties, and just because the Lord's been good to us, I want to tell you, does not mean that we are quitting. Are y'all listening to me? We have just begun to fight. I'm telling you, brother, our vision should not be limited to just saying, well, we made it to the top. Now, we ain't at no top. We got a long ways to go to get to where God could really do great and mighty things here. And I've been asking the Lord, and I've been thinking that God would just expand my brain, man, and that God would just broaden this thing out. You know what our problem is here in this part of the country? We look at other churches and say, well, we're doing as good as the next fella, and we're doing as good as that and down there, and I'm good as old so-and-so. But that, listen, God is a big God, folks. There's no telling what God might do if every one of us would get sold out to Him, if every member of this church would get rid of them old bad feelings that you got towards somebody else, and get rid of them old stupid feelings of getting mad at somebody or feeling hurt. If you young people would just throw out your pride, throw out your ego, and start really singing and testifying for God instead of trying to be cool in school, and you just really say, there ain't no telling what God might do. I'm going to tell you something, it don't take a big crowd neither. All it takes is one or two that'll step out there where there ain't nothing and say, by the time my foot hits, God is going to have something under me. I'm going to talk to you about miracles tonight. I might need a little bunch of girls to come up here and do like this and say, something good is going. I mean, I don't know if that'll do any good or not. If I thought it would, I'd say, come on up and do it. But I'm going to talk to you about a miracle working God and what stops God from working miracles in our life. Now, let me say by way of introduction, I am a dispensationalist. I claim to at least partly understand what the Bible's saying and teaching. There's nobody going to have need to run up to me tonight and say, well, Brother Danny, don't you know that the days of miracles are past? You won't need to do that. I wouldn't listen to you anyway. And there's nobody that will have to say, Brother Danny, don't you know that the Lord Jesus came to the Jews? I know that the Lord came to the Jews. I know that I understand dispensations in the Bible. I know He came to His own received Him not. I know when the Lord was healing,
and doing miracles. They tried to get him to come to a Gentile woman one time, and the Lord wouldn't even do it. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I know there's dispensations in the Bible when God works miracles in the Jewish people. I understand all that. I mean, y'all have heard me preach that before. I don't believe that anybody is an apostle right now. I don't believe that anybody's running around here that's seen Jesus and got the gift of healing in their pocket. If they could, they'd go heal everybody. But I want to say something to you tonight, and a lot of my Baptist brethren wouldn't agree with. I am not a Pentecostal or a charismatic. I am not one that believes that there's apostles running around today, but I will not put the Lord in a box and say God cannot do those things nowadays just because we're in another dispensation. Brother, God can do anything, anytime that He well pleases to do. Now, I know God, the Lord's ministry was mainly the Jews. And I know there'd be a lot of Baptist preachers hear this message disagree with me. They don't even believe God works miracles nowadays. I don't believe He does it in the same sense that He did it while He's here on earth in the flesh. But I tell you, you done waited too long to tell me that God still don't do and can't do mighty works. You see, a Christian's got to get to the place where you get balanced. When you first get saved, you have a whole lot of faith and no sense. You say, "Woo, boy, the Lord can do this, the Lord can do that." And I found a verse over in Joel that said He's going to pour out His Spirit. He's pouring it out on me. See? That's where you are when you first get saved. And the Lord can bless you, but you mess up a lot because you ain't got no sense. But I'll tell you something worse than that. Is after you're in church several years, and then you get taught, and you learn doctrine, and you hear the great teachers and great preachers, and you hear them on there, and then you get to the place where you got a lot of sense, but you ain't got no faith. You listening? Then you get to the place where somebody says, "Praise God, the Lord's pouring out His Spirit." You say, "Wait a minute, dear brother, that's not for you." And you come in and say, "Praise God, the Lord said He'd supply all my needs. Lord, I need this. God, you know I need it." You say, "Poor dummy, he don't know God didn't mean that." And somebody comes in and says, I'm sick. I want you to pray for me that God will heal me." And they say, "Don't you know that God doesn't heal anymore?" And then you get so smart, you ain't no count. You ain't worth a dime because you got a lot of sense and no faith. Now, I believe you ought to be this way. I believe you have a whole lot of sense and no doctrine and get the book right and not twist it and not steal verses that don't belong to you and rightly divide the word of truth. But there ought to be just enough faith inside of you to say, "Well, if God wants to do it, praise God, I'll take it." Amen. I mean, "Lord, if you want me to speak in tongues, here I am." Y'all say, "Oh, brother Danny," I mean that, folks. I mean that. Now, I don't believe He's going to, but I'll tell you what, if He took a notion for me to witness to a Chinese man, He could do it, brother. And don't you ever get so doctrinally smart you don't think He can. Now, I'm going to throw some of you in sure's world before I get through here. And y'all done think Brother Danny's done flipped his lid. I'm telling you tonight, God will stop mighty works because of our unbelief. It'll take me 2 months to teach my way out of this. But you'll say, "Brother Danny said he believed in it." No, I did not. You ain't listening. I know there's probably a couple of smarty pants out there that you sit, and instead of the listening to the sermon, you pick it apart. And you find all the things that you're so smart, you know. God's gave you such great wisdom that you can find whatever preacher says wrong and straighten him out. But I ain't even talking to you. There ain't even much use in you being here. I'm talking to people that want to have God's power in their life. And I refuse to believe that God can't work miracles in our day and time. I do not believe that anybody has the gift of tongues like they had it in the book of Acts. I do not believe that anybody has the gift of healing like they had in the book of Acts. But I do believe that if God could heal 1,000 years ago, God can heal me and you now when we bump our elbow on a pulpit. I believe He can. We'll find out in a minute if He will.
I'm telling you, brother, we need to have a balance. Let's talk about healing for a minute. Now listen, I don't believe we ought to let all the fakes cheat us out of getting healed when we get sick. There's a lot of Baptists, there's a lot of good, independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing Baptists that are ashamed to ask people to pray for them when they get sick, because they're afraid somebody will think they're Pentecostal. I tell you, buddy, if you ain't got no more sense than that, if you'd rather lay in the bed and puking and brother having them the flu and headaches and not being able to eat than admit that somebody might think you're a Pentecostal, you are in bad shape. You can call me whatever you want to call me. You can call me Holy Roller. You know what Holy Roller is? It's that bowling team them preachers formed out there somewhere out west. Hey, you can call me a fanatic. You can call me overboard. Well, son, I'm here to tell you, if I get another kidney stone, or if I get sick, or you hear about Brother Danny going to the hospital, I'm going to be calling some of these brethren saying, get out there and lay hands on me and pray that God will touch me. You say, well, He won't. Well, I know one thing, He sure won't touch you if you don't ask Him. All He can't hurt. Amen. Hey, did you know you can be as straight as a gun barrel doctrinally and as empty as one spiritually? Buddy, I'm going to call Brother John, and I'm going to call these deacons, and I'm going to call these men, these preacher boys. I've done it before. And I'm going to say, boys, come around me. Come around me. And I'm going to get down here and say, put your hands on me and pray that God will touch me. Brother, I don't like being sick. I don't know about you. I don't enjoy it one bit. And I believe that God can still heal. I believe He does heal. I think a lot of people are overboard on healing. I'm not going to start having healing lines on Sunday night. I'm not sending out prayer cloths that I sweated on. I'm not going to send out, you know, specially anointed flowers and stuff like that. But God is powerful. And let me say this. This might blow your mind. When you get down to it, all healing comes from God. Did you know a doctor can sew you up, but he can't make you quit bleeding? Did you know God heals everybody that ever gets well unless He let the devil heal them? And the devil will have power to do stuff like that in the last days. And a lot of times we... How many of you in here tonight, when you've got sick, you've asked the Lord to touch you and you really believe He did? Raise your hand. All right, you going to call all these people a liar? They are either lying or they're all deceived. One of the two. Now, as I said, you got to be balanced. You start preaching this stuff, and a lot of churches go overboard on it. I heard this guy on the radio the other day, and a lot of times I'd rather listen to them charismatic preachers than the ones that's straight, because at least they do preach. You can disagree with me if you want to, but I like to hear a man at least sound like he believes what he's saying, even if I don't believe it. It stirs me up, man. I heard some old guy on that day, and he said, praise God, you better get saved, you get healed. And I said, hey, man, I didn't believe a word of it, but man, I was enjoying it because he was preaching. You know, I was listening to some old guy on there, and he had some awful stuff you ever heard tell of in your life. And he's talking about when he got the Holy Ghost, and he's talking about this and that, you know, and all this kind of thing. And I thought, you know something, that guy, he's out of it, I know that, but it sounded good because he believed it. You know what God, you know what purifies a man's heart? It ain't doctrine, brother. It's faith.
That's no excuse to be mixed up in false doctrine. But the biggest pitfall that you and I have who's got our doctrine straight is to not have no faith.
And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I get a headache. I get sick. I ask the Lord to touch me. If nothing don't happen, I take a goody powder. You know what that is? That's balance, brother. Did you hear about that Church of God preacher up there in Tennessee? That his little girl got cancer? And they didn't believe in doctors? Did you remember that? It's on the news and everything. And they didn't believe in doctors, so they wouldn't take her, and she kept getting worse and worse. And they'll say, "No, sir, we don't believe in doctors. We're going to heal her." Now, that's fine if you can heal her. If you can get her well, more power to you, man. Forget the doctors. But if you can't, you ought to have enough sense to go to the doctor. Now, God gave you a brain, and that's what your brain is for, to use it. You say, "What if the goody powder don't work?" I pray about it some more. And I put my life in the hands of God and say, "Lord, touch me," and then, you know, I get better. I don't know about you, but God can still heal. God can still work. Everybody don't get healed. I don't understand how God does it. I don't believe He operates like He did in the book of Acts and in the New Testament while it's being completed. But don't ever, ever, ever get so doctrinally straight that you just zap the Lord's power right out of working in your life. I thought about answering prayer. All these good things. I've heard testimonies of people who got their prayers answered. And you know, a lot of times we get our minds on the wrong thing. I heard this one is in a university, and this one student came up to another and says, "You believe that Bible?" And they said, "Sure I do." And they said, "How can you believe that God divided the Red Sea?" You know, when the children of Israel, when it went up like this and they went through it. And the guy said, "Well, that ain't much of a problem. My problem is believing He made that Red Sea." He said, "If He made that thing, He sure ain't got no problem dividing it." But I tell you what, making the Red Sea would be a whole lot harder than dividing it, don't you think? And we get all messed up on what the Bible calls and their miracles in the Word of God, when we ought to just say, "Good night, for the Lord can make the whole world. If He can make our bodies, surely to goodness He can touch them when they need to be touched." Well, we talk about building churches and soul winning. They say it can't be done in this generation. It thrills me when I hear about stories like Gypsy Smith, who said this. He said, "You tell me how the Lord..." He's a gypsy, and he lived with his sisters, and his daddy. Didn't have no mama. Either a broken home, or she...
Let me tell that story about that little church, and there's going to build him a church building. And through our building program, God, Lord made a believer out of me, brother. If He wants a church in a place, He can put her down there. Y'all that wasn't here when we first started our building program, you really missed it, brother. You missed it. You wouldn't believe. Y'all remember the night we all had to go uptown to the board meeting and had trying to get them to bend the make the adjustment long so we could have the parking places and all that kind of stuff. And buddy, it looked like the door was shut. Y'all remember the opposition we got from all around here? And you remember? And buddy, I remember times when I'd go home and I'd get down there, and I'm gonna tell you some personal things now tonight. So I don't run out and gossip all over creation. I'm just gonna talk to you personally for a few minutes. Though I remember the time when I'd go home and I'd get down on my knees and I'd say, "Now, Lord, is this thing really, are we right? God, is it supposed to be here?" And the next day or two, it just seemed like that thing would disappear. And it always worked out. I could tell you something, but I might. I'm afraid you would run your mouth all over town, I'd tell you. See, if you wouldn't gossip, you'd get to all kind of good stuff. And did you know that things happen? And I could tell you things that happened this season. I could tell you people who deliberately did not want this church here that are now out of business. And others that God shut up. And others that said, I don't think that can work there and it won't be room for it. And this, that, and the other. And now it's here and we ain't seen hiding or the hair of them since.
And this one little church is going to build this church on a certain piece of property and they's praying for it and the man wouldn't sell it. And he had some kind of business there, and they said, no, God wants our church right there. And he said, no, you ain't going to have that land. I don't care how much you pay for it. And so they went ahead and said, well, it ain't right, but we're going to go ahead, and they build it up the road a little ways. And you wouldn't believe it. Not long after that little building was built, a flood come. And the flood about washed away everything in the community and picked that little church up, and when the water went down, guess where it was? That's right. It was sitting right down there where the Lord told him to put it to start with. And this guy comes out and says, huh? And they said, you ready to sell us that land now? And he said, yeah, I'll sell it to you. And the Lord set that thing right down on top of that guy. And you know, a lot of people say, well, that's just coincidence and everything. I tell you what, you believe what you want to, and I'll believe what I want to. I'm having a good time believing the Lord works miracles. If I'm dreaming, don't wake me up. I still believe that God works in behalf of those who will put their faith and trust. Matter of fact, I'm amazed that God does as much as He does when I look at us. I look at myself, and I see the way we live, and I see how unconcerned we are. And it's amazing God can do anything with us. And you think about winning souls. Every time somebody gets saved, it's a miracle. Every time that you take some Bible and kneel down with somebody, you're at school with a young man or young woman and say, listen, this is how you get saved. Do you want to get saved? That is God performing a miracle. And everybody in here ought to make up your mind. Can you get me on this, Brother Steve? That you are going to let the Lord use you to work miracles. I've read about what's been going on. You know, a lot of churches nowadays are just kind of dying. They're kind of just leveling off. They're kind of just shrinking. They're kind of just dying out and getting cold and getting quiet. And there ain't no amens. There's no excitement. Nobody getting saved. I just read the other day what they've been doing up at Hammond, Indiana. Y'all hear about what happened up there back in November? One of the greatest miracles I've ever heard tell of in my life. It was the church's 100th anniversary. And the preacher got up and said, now folks, we're going to have a bigger day than we've ever had. Been in the history of the church, history of the United States or whatever. History of the world, all I know. And they worked and worked and worked and worked. And on Sunday, I think it was November the 22nd, somewhere right before Thanksgiving or right along in there, the 100th anniversary of the church, they had 125,000 in Sunday school. I said, 125,000, brother. And when you see, you know what the old record was? 42,000. You know any of the church seats? 7,000. About like Civic Center over in Asheville. 125,000, man! I said, you know what? You know what a lot of people would really do when they say that? Now here's where you find out what kind of person you are. Some of you, if your attitude was, well, how'd they do it? Big deal. You're pitiful.
You are the sorriest person. You ought to be whipped. Somebody ought to turn you over their knee. Listen, man, we're in competition with the world, not each other. Oh, there'll be a lot of preachers just turn green with jealousy and say, well, he bribed them in. Man, let's see you go out and bribe 125,000 in. Let's see you, big boy. I dare you to, you can't pay $125,000 come here, you preach. $20 a head. I bet you couldn't. Brother, you can't deny it. God had something to do with that. You just don't get 125,000 people church on Sunday. And 18,000 made professions of faith that day. You know what the hypocrites say and the unbelievers?
Well, you know all that many didn't get saved.
Old Carl Lackey, he preached a revival somewhere out in the country, and he had about 110 saved. And he come back and he said, praise God, 110 got saved. And one of the preachers said, now, Brother Lackey, do you really believe all 110 of them really got saved? He said, do you really believe all two of them you won last year got saved? Anybody that says that, boy, I'd like to know their percentages. Of course all 18,000 got saved. But what if 150 did? That's better than most churches I know of. And they said that 18,000 people were dealt with personally by a soul winner, taken through the plan of salvation, and led to the Lord. You say, how in the world did they do that? Well, they had... No, I might have told you wrong about that old record. It might have been 42,000 that they had at the church. The old record might have been a little bit more than that. They had 42,000 on the church premises. And then they went out and rented buildings all over the city. They rented civic centers. They rented auditoriums. They rented open schoolhouses. They rented restaurants. They rented every building in the city that was going to be empty, they get their hands on. They rented it for that Sunday and filled it up with people. And there's a girl from the college called down here the other day where Brother Cindy will be going pretty soon. Where Cindy will be going in a few weeks. And she called down here and she was wanting to talk about some of the young people coming to college up there. And I said, hey, I heard about you big day. Was you involved in that? And she said, oh, yes. And she said, all the college students were out working and done this. And all those young people got out and knocked on doors and filled up buses and brought them into those buildings. And they had maybe 200 over here and 400 over yonder and had 15 over here in a little abandoned warehouse and a bunch of little old Spanish kids over there and a bunch of little black kids over here and a bunch of little old drunks over there and a bunch of people over there and got them all together and told it up. I'm telling you, brother, if God's people will put forth an effort and go and pray, there ain't no telling what God... You don't expect to just sit there every Sunday like a knot on a log and God start dumping out miracles. Work is a prerequisite of God's miracles on a church in this generation. The Lord don't look over His files up there and say, well, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which church shall I go this Sunday? And I believe I'll bless old so-and-so here. The Lord looks down and He says, who's working down there? Who wants it? Who's hungry? Who's got a desire? Who? Hey, wouldn't y'all like to see God do something tremendous here in McDowell County? Do you want to? I mean, I do. How about y'all? Do you want to bad enough to do something about it? There's the hitch. Most people say, well, if the Lord wants to bless us like no other time before, we'll take it. Well, you won't either, because you ain't going to get it. I thought about our 10th anniversary this past year. Do y'all know that the Sunday morning of our 10th anniversary, that there was as many people in this church that would accumulate a third of the population of the city of Marion? Now, When we start talking about these big churches with 8,000 and 10,000 and stuff like that, it makes us seem like we ain't doing too good. Until you look at, we're living in a town of 3,500 people. And we're living in a county of 150 churches. But at those 150 churches, there's only 75 people average attendance. And you total all that up, and that leaves about 25,000 people sitting at home every Sunday morning in McDowell County. Boy, wouldn't it be something if some of our bus workers would get a new, fresh vision from the Lord. Hey, bus workers, wouldn't you like for it to be like it was when you first started in the bus ministry? Now it just tickles you to death when it's bad weather. You say, hey, oh boy, we don't have to go. I mean, don't feel bad. That's your flesh. I mean, we're all made out of the same stuff. But listen, wouldn't it be good to just be able to say, praise God, I can't wait till Saturday morning. Well, listen, wouldn't it be something to get that vision back and that burden back and saying, God, I'm going to fill that bus up for the glory of God.
It can be done. I never will forget that Sunday we had those kites and we gave kites to the kids and Sister Lucy and them come on in that old white bus up yonder and it had 106 on it. How many of you was there that Sunday morning? And we had Billy Kelly in the revival. That was a miracle, son. Every kid in Stumptown was on that bus. You ain't never seen nothing to beat it, mother. They was hanging out the windows. They was sticking down in there, that little hole where the door is. There's crammed down in there, and here they come. It's one of the most beautiful sights I ever seen in my life. They come a marching off that bus, and little old young'uns in there. There's a pyre swept over that congregation. And old Brother Kelly got up, remember that morning? He said, boy, that just shows you what God can do. And I told you, if the Lord done that, I think we were shooting for 400 then. I said, if we have 400, I'll sing a hallelujah chorus backwards. And I did too, remember that? I just done like this. Hallelujah! I tell you, I've done my part, the Lord done His part. I'm telling you this morning, got that idea from Brother Kelly. I tell you, brother, we had a time. And then coming up on our 10th anniversary, remember back in March, we worked and we worked and we worked and we worked. And I worked so hard on that, I was about to cry. I was literally wore slapped out.
And you remember, I said, folks, we're shooting for 800.
And it was our 10th anniversary, and I always said, Lord. I sat down over in my office one day, and I took a little old piece of paper about the size of that right there. And I wrote down. I didn't even tell y'all about this because I thought you'd think I was crazy. And I took a pen and I wrote down 1,000. And I said, can it happen? Can it happen to a little church here in the middle of nowhere out in the country with 150 churches in our county? Can it
be done? Can God grab that big of a crowd here in a little town like Marion?
And I didn't get up and say it. I guess I should have, but I didn't. Because I didn't think it would probably happen and I'd turn out to be a false prophet. But I kept that over in my office for months. And everybody come up here on the set. You remember how it rained? Y'all remember that? Son, it rained about Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that Saturday morning we was going to have an all-day visitation. Everybody work all day. We had ladies on the phone all day long up here. Sister Opal, all them, they was up there, and they just called one person right after another, inviting them to church, working. And I'll tell you something, folks, I don't know about all the congregation, but I really believe a lot of folks done their very best. It was pouring rain. It rained so hard that day, my van started leaking. It ain't never done that before or since. Water started coming in everywhere and getting me soaked. And I said, my soul, I'm going to drown.
and this, and it was getting deep outside. It's laying out there in the parking lot, and they said rained in the forecast all weekend. And Lewis had that big cake, and he's sitting up out there, and the community said, "Brother Danny, where are we going to eat the cake?" And I said, "Out in the parking lot." He said, "No, it's going to rain all weekend." I said, "We're going to eat it in the parking lot." And I was about to cry. I was about to cry. And I prayed in there on my couch. And I said, "God, please don't let it rain." And everybody said, "It's going to rain all weekend." And I said, "It'll not be raining in the morning. It can't rain. No, Lord, it can't. God, you can't do this." And I felt good about saying it. Next morning we got up and it was raining. I mean, it was just cloud. It was just kind of breaking up a little bit. And I prayed. Got on my way up here to church and I was coming up Highway 70. Started seeing some blue spots in the sky. I ain't kidding you, brother. It started breaking up. Gene Padgett and them was going to fly over and take pictures of us in the airplane. That's that picture up there in the hallway you can see as you leave. And they was going to take pictures in the airplane and they was going to fly over and all that. And he called and said, "Danny, there's 6 inches of water on the runway." You know, Marion's runway is grass. And I took somebody out there and I said, "Right over there is our airport." And they said, "That? It's just like a cow pasture." And he said, "There's that much water out there." He said, "We can't take a plane off in this kind of weather." I said, "Well, maybe it'll clear up here in a little bit." It got more clear, and the wind started blowing. And by the time we started church that morning, the sky was almost all blue like I ain't never seen it before. And buddy, my heart was going boom, 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 boom. And buddy, as people started coming every one of these doors like crazy. If you wasn't here, you missed a blessing. We had a big birthday cake come down the aisle. It had sparklers on it, you know, and turned the lights down, and it had happy birthday up there. And boy, we had a time, you know, and that morning. He called back a little bit later and said, "I'm going up." And he took off on that water out there. Flew around out there for about 20 minutes waiting on us to get out of church. Come out here in front and get our picture took. That morning they brought us the total. Of course, we had 1,118. I consider that one of the greatest days of my life. I consider that a day when God looked down on the faithfulness of a few hard workers and says, "You want it that bad, I'll just give it to you." It ain't no problem for God to get people out of bed and wake them up and trouble their heart and get them to church. God's problem is getting me and you to the place where we want it. And I'll tell you what our danger is, New Manna. We got the doctrine straight. We got a nice place to meet. We got it figured out. Our problem is not believing God for greater things. And I'm telling you here tonight, if you're one of these old sourpuss Christians that don't want to see a church grow, and you think a preacher should run everybody off he can, and you think, "Well, I just don't believe in that soul winning, and I ain't going to knock on doors, and I don't believe in all that stuff, and them little old kids, they ain't really getting saved and all that." Listen, you are in the wrong church. You're in the wrong church. I like the way you're doing it. I like the way we're doing it better than the way you're not doing it. Boy, that was a blessing. And did you know we had... I will make somebody mad when I say this. I hope I don't hurt nobody's... This is nothing personal. We had to ask them to put that in the McDowell News. Now, I'm not throwing off on no other reporters or nothing like that. I mean, but did you know something, folks? That shows you the power of the devil. As far as I know, that's the biggest crowd of people that's ever been for one Sunday morning church service in the history of McDowell County that anybody knows of.
And it had a little bitty picture in the back of the paper that said, large gathering.
And the funny part was, I saw another a few days before after that, on the front page, it said, 800 expected for the firemen's meeting. And that a big front page article on 800 expected. I don't know how many showed up. They was expecting 800 and went wild. I thought, man, if that thing had been treated right, it would have sat on the front page of McDowell. Not just cause, I mean, I wouldn't care if my name was even mentioned. It would have been on the front page of McDowell News to witness to lost sinners all over this county. 1,100 in Sunday school. The sermon was preached. The souls were touched. Lives were saved.
Wouldn't that have been good? But you know how it goes. You know how it goes. And of course, we're not interested in getting our name known. We just like for the world to know that God's still doing some things. It's kept mighty quiet. Amazingly quiet.
Have you ever wondered, have you ever noticed how gossip and bad things spread all over the county real quick and something like that happens and it's, well, nobody wants to talk about that, do they?
Nobody wants to talk about it. I talked about the camp. The camp is a miracle. That's all there are to it.
He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
Oh, my soul, what got into us about this time last year. Did you know it ain't even been a year yet? I didn't know the place existed this time last year.
And now we done had a year of camp and had several hundred kids out there and 57 churches and 66 souls saved and planning a full schedule this summer and didn't even know it was there this time last year.
Now, tell me that ain't a miracle? For you that wasn't here, could I tell you something? Do you know there was $11,000 a week more than our regular offering came into this church for 10 straight weeks?
I heard a national radio broadcast saying that they was going to go under if they didn't have this and that, and their budget wasn't as much as that.
They had people all over the United States helping them out. I said, God, you mean we a bunch of little nobodies from nowhere, and ain't none of us got no money, and we attempted something like that? $110,000 in 10 weeks, folks. And Jim Baker had just messed up right before that we started. I figured it out. God raised me up. Take Jim's place. As soon as I talked to Tammy about putting on a little more eye makeup, me and her's going on TV. Oh, boy. No, just kidding now. Just kidding. That's what gets me in trouble. Some of y'all will go out and say it.
Danny Castle said that God called him here.
Go ahead and say it. Let them believe what they want to. Every time they talk about me, the Lord blesses me. But you know something? That is a finger of God, brother. I heard this man, he was talking about these flowers. And I'll say this in close. There's this certain kind of flower, and they stayed closed up all day. And at dark in the evening, they would start opening up and send out a beautiful fragrance. Some kind of weird flower, I don't know what the name of it was. And that man said, I don't know if I believe that or not. And he watched them things, and when it started getting dark, that flower started opening up. And he said it was just like an invisible hand reached down there and took a finger and opened up them flowers. And he said, if God can just speak to them flowers and them open up by their self, why should we think it's so big when God can open up people's hearts? Speak to people and change people and touch people and heal people and move on people. Folks, I'm sending out a plea tonight. I'm challenging somebody else here tonight, say, put me in the bus ministry.
Oh, I'd like for God to touch some men. We need some men. They'll say, "Preacher, I want to see God do something in my lifetime. I only got one life. I don't want to waste it. Put me in there. Put me in there."
I'd like to see some Sunday school teacher saying, "I want to see God Almighty move on my class. And that way I want to see the day come when every boy and girl in our class is a crying and a bawling and praying to the Lord Jesus in the Sunday school class.
Have a revival right there in the class." "Well, preacher, stuff like that don't happen." Yeah, and you know why too, don't you?
Because of our unbelief.
Now, I'm not saying get a bunch of old, wild, blind faith and just go out and say, "Well, praise God, we're going to believe God and He's going to do this." You'll fall flat on your face. I'm not talking about name it, claim it. I'm talking about work like a dog and claim it. Read this book and live holy and claim it. And God will do great things.
I don't know what the future holds for us. If the Lord don't come in 1988, there's no telling what we could see God do right here in our church. I don't know about you, but I don't want it to be said about me, "I would have done something down there, Brother Danny, if it wasn't for your unbelief." Wouldn't it be awful to get to heaven and us get up there and say, "Lord, you sure was good to us down there at New Manna. God, remember them great days we had." And the Lord says, "All right, sit down. Let me show you what I would have done." And buddy, he starts doing this, and he said, "We took up this whole block, and we owned all them buildings over there, and we were keeping drunks in them, and runaway girls, and homes for unwed mothers and unwed fathers." You know, that's monastery, and places like that. You know, and all kinds of places all over the country, and soul winners going out, and missionaries all over the world, and everything. And the Lord says, "I could have done this."
What? We could have had that? God, I didn't even ask for that.
Listen, what you got to lose? Go ahead and ask for it. What if you'd have got to heaven and the Lord just said, "I was going to make you the greatest soul winner in North Carolina, and you didn't ask me to"? Wouldn't that make you feel like a dog?
What if you get to heaven and the Lord says, "I was going to set you for an example for a bus worker for the whole United States, and you didn't even think to ask me"?
You'd ask me, I've done it. No telling.
D.L. Moody, heard a preacher say, "It's yet to be seen what God can do with one man who's totally sold out to Him."
And them words got on D.L. Moody's mind and eat him up. And he got up and he said, "I'll be that man." And he grabbed a hold of two continents and shook England and America by the power of God that was on his life. Sure, we're my little nobodies. Here's old little Danny running around here whose father and mother you know. You know my sisters. But that don't mean that we ain't got a big, big God. And He can do anything. Let's don't hinder Him by our unbelief. Let's pray. Now tonight, we're going to give just a brief invitation. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who wants to come down here and get a vision. Maybe there's somebody who wants to come down here tonight and say, "Brother Danny, I want God to work miracles in my life. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to be a bus worker. I'm tired of wasting my life fooling around." Amen. Just get out of your seat and come right now. That's right. That's good. That's good. Don't waste your life. Do something for God. I challenge you tonight. Do something for the Lord. God can do some stuff, folks. Oh, we need about 75 men to say, "Preacher, we're behind you. Let's do it. Let's do what God called." You know, the women are a lot more willing to do something for God than men are nowadays. That's a shame on you, men. That's a shame on you. You ought to say, "I'll lead my family to do the right thing, to be faithful, getting that bus ministry, knock on doors like never before, to pray, to work, to invite like I never have before." get a new vision, a new burden. Shame. God been good to us, He has. And then we hunt excuses to keep from doing anything from Him. What if you're in hell where you deserve to be? We're going to pray and stand and sing this song tonight. God putting His hand on you to do something, come up here and tell Him you'll do it. Father, do what ought to be done tonight in our lives. And God, don't let it be said about us you couldn't do any mighty works here because of our unbelief. Lord, we're open to whatever you want to do. God, just take control, take over. God, do what ought to be done in Jesus' name. Amen.